It doesn't really change anything, but you know, when I hear that you all are talking about how cold it is, it makes me feel a little bit better because it is cold outside. It really, truly is. My wife and I were looking at the weather report, and it's supposed to be about 65 degrees today in Tampa, and so there's a longing to go home at this point. And I do anticipate getting to come back again, hopefully sooner than later. And I've heard that Berkeley Springs is beautiful in the spring and in the summer. And so I'm hoping maybe I can come and visit during a different season than this one. We never really anticipated the weather being the way it is when we were making our plans to come up here. Anyway, thank you for having us. It's been wonderful. It's great to be here again. I've got to witness the growth of the congregation, the additions that you've done. They're not new anymore, you know, but I remember being here during the construction phase when you were working on the downstairs part and doing all the capital improvements of the building. And so it looks awesome, you know, and it's being very well maintained. And I'm just really, really happy to be here. Really am. If you looked at the title of the lesson this morning, the title says, "Am I My Brother's Keeper?" And you're probably expecting me to go into the book of Genesis to talk about the story of Cain and Abel. And I'm not going to do that. I'll probably touch on it just a second or so, but that's not really where my lesson is going to be today. Now, if you were in the Bible class, you realize that that 45 minutes for you was probably an eternity, listening to me talk about Costa Rica and Honduras. To me, it went by in a blink. I needed a lot more time than what I had. I can talk about Costa Rica and Honduras for hours and hours and hours. But when it comes to preaching, it's totally different. I'm not that way when it comes to preaching. I'm not even a preacher by trade. I'm a school teacher. I did youth ministry work for a long time, but you know, my father-in-law is a preacher. You know, he worked here for 5 years. Has very, very fond memories of Berkeley Springs. And before that, he worked 20 years at the Katanning Church. And Clarence is a bona fide, real deal preacher. He really is, always will be. I'm a school teacher, so I'm not going to deliver the 3-point sermon. But it's not going to be nearly as long as the class probably. I do want to talk about the topic: Am I My Brother's Keeper? If you want the shortest part of the lesson, the answer is yes. And I could sit down right now and hopefully you would have understood what I was talking about. We are our brother's keeper. We are. But if you go back to the story of Cain and Abel, if you remember that phrase, Cain was using it in a totally different mindset, wasn't he? He was trying to use that phrase as a way of getting out of any responsibility of knowing anything about or keeping up with or helping his brother. He was covering up the fact that what he had done was as wrong could be. But I'm saying to you today that that phrase is so important to us, because we truly are our brother's keeper. And in a much bigger aspect, we are the keeper of those that are not our spiritual brothers as well. Our whole objective in this world is to live as an ambassador for Jesus Christ. And if we're not living as an... Now, you know what an ambassador is, correct? An ambassador is a representative from a country that's living in another country. And they represent the government, they represent that country, and they do the will of the country while they're in that foreign land. It's been my privilege to have met several ambassadors in my work in Central America. You know, years ago, I would have never, ever dreamed that I would be doing the things that I'm doing today. I know my teachers would never believe the things I'm doing today. But I've had the opportunity to sit down and to talk with presidents and vice presidents and ambassadors in different countries, listening to what they had to say and actually having them listen to what we had to say. And if we can take that idea and understand the fact that we truly are foreigners passing through a foreign land, because this home is not our own. We're just passing through, as the song says. This is not our final destiny. This is just a temporary residence. And because of that, we are representatives. We are ambassadors representing our homeland, which is heaven. And because we are representatives, we are embassy, we are ambassadors, our job is to do the will of our country and our King, which is God, which is Jesus Christ. And so in a very real way, we truly are our brother's keepers. When we're in Honduras, I'm so grateful this has never happened before, but if we're in Honduras and something were to go wrong, for example, somebody loses a passport, which I have almost done before, or someone needs assistance, we can go to the United States Embassy and we can see the ambassador. Because this did happen last year, now that I think about it. What a coincidence. I have a story to tell you. We had a student from our school with us last year. He's originally from Belgium, but he lives in the United States. He was adopted. No, he's not. He's not adopted. His mother, his father died, and so his mother moved to the United States and is remarried. And so Ryan, even though he lives in the United States, his citizenship is still Belgian. But his parents live in the United States, and so he's in the process of getting an American passport and becoming a U.S. citizen. Well, make a long story short, we travel down to Honduras, and it's time for us to come home. And we're at the airport, and everybody's getting their paperwork out and everything out that they need, the documents needed to leave. Well, Ryan has his Belgian passport, and inside the passport is supposed to be his green card that allows him to return to the United States. And you probably have already guessed what's missing in this story. He doesn't have his green card. So he can't go home. He can't go back to the United States. And so we made an appointment to go to the U.S. Embassy, which honestly didn't do us much good, because he's not a U.S. citizen. And so the embassy can only help those that are U.S. citizens. In order for us to get help, we would have had to have gone to the Belgian embassy. But they couldn't help us because we're trying to go back to the United States. So quite an issue here. We had to solve the issue by having his stepfather fly down to Honduras with the paperwork so we could get him to go home, which actually happened pretty smoothly, all things considered. So you can see that an embassy, as important as it is, can't do everything. As an ambassador, the U.S. ambassador was heartbroken that he couldn't help us. He wanted to help. And even though he had great authority, he didn't have that kind of authority. So anyway, so what's the point? The point is this. When we become members of the church, when we commit our lives to Christ, we put away our old selves and we take on a new identity, correct? And that new identity is Jesus. And we are clothed in his righteousness. And we become part of his body. We become part of his church, the church that Scott talked about in the Lord's Supper this morning. What a glorious honor and privilege it is to be a member of the church, because there's no one in here that has the bloodline, the lineage for any of that to ever take place. We have been adopted by God. And not only have we been adopted, we are treated as heirs. We're treated as family to the greatest of all kingdoms. And so when I say that we are our brother's keepers, one of our objectives, one of the things that we are told to do, one of the things we're asked to do is to keep up with each other and to check up on each other, to make sure that our collective congregation, such as Berkeley Springs, are on the right track and we're on the right path and we're on our way home, and that no one has wandered away, that the 90 and 9 that are safely at home are concerned about the one that may have left, and that we're willing to go out to find the missing sheep. That's such a great story. And the song that was written about that story is just as powerful as it can be. But in a bigger sense, we are also asked and commanded, not just asked, let me rephrase, we're commanded to reach out to the lost and to bring them in. That's one of the jobs as an ambassador. We could go to Romans chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. We could go to Matthew chapter 28. We could go, there's so many different places we could go to where God has said, where Jesus has said, go and preach the gospel to every creature. To every creature. That includes Berkeley Springs. That includes whatever the name of the place is that the Howells live. Because I don't even know. They live in a township that has like 700 people in it. We still have to go there, wherever that might be. It's just way out in the country is all I can tell you. Way out in the country. We're to go into our county, into our state. We have to go beyond our state. And that is to a large extent why I'm here today. Because we collectively, as a partnership, have taken the gospel to Honduras. We have taken the gospel to Costa Rica. We've taken the gospel to Panama and to Nicaragua. We've taken it to Brazil. The Torch Mission Program has been to Colombia. We have been to Guyana. We have been to Indonesia. We've been to Cuba. We have been to a lot of places. Because we are our brother's keepers. Our jobs, our responsibility goes beyond our city limits. It goes beyond our county lines. It goes beyond our country's borders. We are our brother's keepers. We live in a global community today. This world is a tiny place. Just in between class, I had multiple people came up that told me that they've been to Panama, they've been to Honduras, they've been to Costa Rica, they know somebody here, they know somebody there. We live in a global community. Taking the gospel to the world is more important than ever, because the world is literally coming to us now. I bet most of you know people that are from other areas, from other states, from other countries. My son lives in Sarasota, Florida. He and his best friend have a painting business. They paint houses and malls, and they if it needs paint, they can paint it. their business has grown tremendously over the last few years, to the point that there's now about 46 people that work for my son. To me, he's still the little goober head that grew up. It just boggles my mind that he has 46 people, 46 men that work for him, that have families. And what is so amazing about that, the story, out of 46 of them, 45 of them are Latino. 45 of them are actually from other countries, including Honduras. When my son was 12 years old, he went to Honduras for the first time with me. He was so incredibly frustrated because he couldn't talk to the kids. He came back to the States, and he, for whatever motivation it was, he decided he was going to learn Spanish. And so from the age of 13 all the way till he graduated from college, he studied Spanish. And he is completely fluent in Spanish. And now today he works for a company in which his language skills are a major asset to what they do. He didn't go out and recruit these people from Honduras and from Venezuela and these other countries to come to the United States to work for him. They were already in the United States. And he's able to work with them now. By taking the gospel to other countries, the gospel will return. And I don't know if you've ever really thought about that or not, but there are countries today that are sending missionaries to the United States. I work with several of them. I mentioned in my Bible class this morning a guy that lived in the dormitory with me. His name is Minor Perez. His father is a gospel preacher from Costa Rica who lives in Missouri. They've started a Spanish ministry at the congregation there. I've got another friend that his dad is, his name is Rafael Barrentes. He has moved to the United States and is preaching in Jackson, Tennessee. The gospel is being brought back to America. The people that have been reached are now coming back to preach. So taking the gospel to the world is not only required, it's not just a commandment, it's actually a benefit. As these people are as transient as a country as this world is today, taking the gospel to one place is automatically going to take it to other places as well. One of the congregations that we helped establish in Honduras has now planted two additional churches. They're all within walking distance because most of the Hondurans, that's how they get around. They walk. But it's amazing that the congregation that we helped start is not only self-sufficient, but has reached out and planted two more congregations. As the Bible talks about, our job is to plant seed. God will provide the harvest. And the harvest is amazing. The harvest is amazing. Never think that your work is going to go unnoticed. Never think that your work is not going to produce. Because sometimes it just takes a long, long time before the harvest takes place. My father-in-law loves to talk about the story about a man named Pat Guthrie. Last time I was here, as a matter of fact, Pat Guthrie drove over from Katanning, Pennsylvania, just to hear me preach. Pat is a rough and tough guy. He was in the Marine Corps, and he lived a rough and tough life. And he lived in Katanning, and he studied on a regular basis with Clarence for years. Margaret, do you happen to know how many years? For years, they would meet every Monday at Dairy Queen, have coffee, have a Bible study. And whether or not my father-in-law was using a little reverse psychology or not, I really don't know. But one day he looked at Pat and he said, "Okay, Pat, I'm done. I'm done with you. I have tried and tried and tried and tried and tried. I've taught you every lesson I can possibly teach you. You're hopeless. You're hopeless." And I want to tell you, Pat Guthrie looked at Clarence and said, "Oh, really? You think I'm hopeless? Well, I'll show you." And he is now one of the most faithful members of the church in Katanning you've ever met. Several years ago, I guess it was about 10 years ago, Pat's son, Mike, was going to go on the mission trip to Honduras. And Mike was not able to go. I don't know. I forgot why. And Pat's like, "Well, I'm not going to let a good airline ticket go to waste. I'll go in his place." And Pat has been going ever since. Pat has given some incredible emotional devotional talks down there. And my father-in-law's like, What are you saying? I'm like, "Yeah, Pat Guthrie. He's preached down there before. He's given Devo talks before. He's got his own little group of mentors." Well, he's the mentor, and they're the mentees. These guys just, they think Pat hung the moon. Boy, it took a long time for that harvest to take place. And some of the people that you know, it may take a long time for them too. Sometimes we might see rapid results, and sometimes we may not. But God says, plant the seed. Go. That was our theme last year for our trip. Just go. Just go. And that's what I want to encourage. Here we are, New Year's Eve. Tomorrow we start 2018. That's so hard to believe. And so New Year's Eve, people are making their New Year's resolutions, all those promises that they're never going to keep. Sometimes I think we make them just so we can break them. I don't know. New Year's resolutions never seem to stick. Unless you have a purpose behind that resolution. And then sometimes they stick. So may I just suggest to you that 1918, we become...
2018.
What did I say? 1918? No, we're not going back. 1918, we're just finishing World War I. We don't want to go back there. We do not want to go back there. 2018. We take keeping... You know, are we our brother's keepers? Can we put that in our forefront of our resolutions and take it seriously? Grow a little bit closer to each other. Fellowship a little bit more with each other. Check up on each other. And reach out. Reach out to the pool of influence that each of you have. Because all of you come in contact with different people than I do. But the main purpose is still the same. We are the ambassadors for the places that we live and the places that we go. And so I want to really encourage you to take that seriously, because Berkeley Springs has made a massive impact in Central America. There are hundreds and hundreds, I might even say thousands, of people that have been influenced for good, that have come to know the good news of Jesus because Berkeley Springs is part of the work. I'm proud to be a partner with you. So to wrap this up, you know, it's kind of a tradition, it's kind of a custom that we have an invitation, a call, a plea for anyone who might feel the need for prayer, for example, or maybe that the time to make that commitment, the time to be a global partner in the world effort to spreading the gospel. If there's anything that we can do for you today, the time is now while we stand and as we sing the invitation song.